More importantly,
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Sarah Bonimore, founder and creator of Lincoln Inspired, welcome to Inspired On Air.
Thank you, Alex.
It's your show after all. Michael Blackburn, ace poet and writer in residence and general all-round wonderful person, welcome to Inspired On Air.
Hello.
A little bit of police advisory stuff there, obviously tying in with the May the 9th Saturday event of Inspired Packages. And intern, marketing intern that is, for the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, Sam Chaplin, welcome back to Inspired On Air.
Hello, thank you.
Splendid. Coming up very shortly, Elliot Morris. Centre, Guys and Dolls. That's Dolls and Guys. Guys and Dolls. Marlon Brando, of course, made that particularly famous, I believe, in the musical. But Marlon's not sort of coming together. But tell us why the Lincoln Amateur Operatic and Dramatic Society are doing some sensational stuff with Guys and Dolls at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Sam.
Well, they've been here before with Anything Goes last year, and that was a tremendous success. And they're back, lay odds. And it's already proving very popular. They opened last night. We've had some great feedback for that, and it's all this week, so I'm very excited about that. I think musical fans will enjoy
it. Love the way you say Laird's there. It's like, yes. Jack Sharpton used to refer to the Laird's. You know, the Laird's would be the Andy Higgins in Magnum PI, but of course it's an acronym. Lincoln Amateur Operatic and Dramatic Society. Ever seen them in action, Sarah?
I haven't seen them, no. I used to be in the Newark one myself when I was younger there.
Oh, good. And Michael, Laird's and Guys and Dolls?
I haven't done any amateur dramatics since, I think probably as university.
Well, that's because you're professional these days, obviously. In terms of tickets, are they still available? Can people still get hold of them for Guys and Dolls? Or has it been a usual sellout?
Yes, they can still get tickets. It's selling very fast, but there are tickets still available for all performances.
And as we look ahead, of course, Friday the 1st of May, very significant aspect. This Crouch, Touch, Pause, Engage, yes. Directed by Max Stafford Clark. I know that our wonderful Julie Ellaby is very excited by this. Presumably, you are equally so, Sam, in terms of the heavy drama that we've got here about people's personal life choices.
Yeah, definitely. It's Crouch, Touch, Pause, Engage. It's about Gareth Thomas, the rugby player and prominent gay sportsman. It's about his life, really, from his sort of humble beginnings in Bridgend in South Wales, and the situation of having to hide his sexuality from his family, his friends and his colleagues. And it's a verbatim play, which means it's based on interviews with his colleagues, his friends, his family and Gareth himself. So it's quite a fascinating piece, really. And it is serious drama, but there's also a lot of humour involved.
Well, so, rugby players.
Exactly.
An interesting mix of life and so on. I see this coming Sunday, the 19th of April. The Aranovic Ensemble have the Schubert Trout Quintet, which for some reason I always find mildly amusing. Just because of tickling trout, that is. Schubert and trout, it just works. Yeah. It should be right.
Sounds delicious, doesn't it?
Maybe I'll do a fantasy event on it, which people can cancel in years to come. But still, let us move on to this. That's obviously part of the ongoing popular international concert series, and presumably, again, it doesn't need to have any additional publicity other than go there, really.
Pretty much, yeah. It's the final event of this season's international concert series, but we'll be back next season.
Splendid. When's the last time you went over to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, Michael?
It was last year.
Yeah.
It's already
April. It's gone fast this year.
Suddenly, the time zone.
I was going through the programme the weekend. Because I was thinking,
what can I take my son to?
Oh, my grandson, yes. Yeah. I was thinking there must be something else.
Too old for the Easterville and the sing along franchise.
Too old for all that kind of stuff. Because I took him to see a production, a modern production of Romeo and Juliet last year. So I think it's about time he saw something else. And I'd like to get him to see some classical music, actually. Listen to some
The Trout Quintet.
That might be...
Just exactly. You know. With the fishing rod, even better. But just as a classic line there. No, Schubert knew what he was doing when he was tickling his trout. And of course, you've also got the Pasadena Roof Orchestra putting on the Ritz, which is a little bit more jazzy. Obviously part of Jazz Week 2015, which comes up on Saturday the 16th of May. I'm sure our very own Osirian FM's Tom Stevens will be very keen to make his way for the jazz event. Okay, do you get a chance to see these events yourself, Sam, or is it a case of, no, I work so hard publicising them, once I'm actually in it, the last thing I want to do is to sort of more spend more time at the Performing Arts Centre?
I wish I had more of an opportunity to see some things, but I do see quite a lot.
Craig Morrow is just seeing him waving knees. Fingers to the bone, etc. Sarah, on the show today, clearly the show is called Inspired On Air and it celebrates the best in Lincoln right across the setup. We were talking about the Soul Festival last time. This time around, we're talking about a massive fundraising day, which also incorporates our friends up at Linden Books, who'll be having an Alice day and a package from that point of view. We've got Nick Quantrell, a Hull crime writer, who's going to be joining us on the show in about 15 minutes or so from now. And Kerry Drury, just talk to us about what's happening on Saturday, May the 9th, and the way in which people can actually raise funds for Lincoln Inspired into the future and beyond.
Thanks, Alex. Yes, we can start to reveal exactly what is happening today. So it's a really kind of copy is nearly ready to go out there and let everyone know what's going on. Instead of the big festival, what we're doing this year is we're really focusing on fundraising activities so that we can make sure that we can build on this for 2016, which is why we have a kind of condensed, shorter programme.
Choking with emotion.
And so what we're doing is we're working with lots of partners in the week up to it, like you mentioned, with our lovely friends at Linden Books, who on the Monday the May the 4th are going to be doing a 150 years of Alice Day, where we're going to be having lots of raising funds and cake stalls and tombolas and fancy dress competitions. And just
here's
really
an interesting fact to you: 150 years ago today, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. Yeah, just throw that in there. John Wilkes Booth.
That won't be the Alice Day.
No. But
we like anarchists.
Better be careful with people at the old fact.
There is a theatre connection, quite clearly, Michael. I just thought, you know, rose it in there, you know. Good to see that rehearsals work well. Carry on, Sarah.
Yes, so that kind of kicks us off that week. And basically what we're doing is we're concentrating our programme on the Saturday, May the 9th. We're going to be kind of taking over the collection, Usher Gallery and Central Library, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have got an absolutely action-packed day. We've got from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. we've got lots of different authors and guest speakers coming along to do story time, rhyme time sessions, which are all free for 0 to 7 year olds. We've got some music with mummy taster sessions with some of our local artists. We've got a beginner's yoga workshop. We've got some author panels as well. We've got an East Coast crime panel, which is why we're going to be talking to Nick today, David DeMarc and Stephen Wade on that one. We've got a reading and writing young adult fiction panel, and we shall hear from Kerry as well a bit about that later today. We've got lots of workshops as well, what Michael was having a look at earlier is we have a murder investigation workshop, which we're quite excited about that one.
Oh, hence my assassination line.
Yeah. There we go.
There, who shot the president? We know. Who knows what could be coming through on that basis. Okay, still to come, we have Ellen Morris, obviously a patron of Lincoln Inspired, ace musician. Sarah, I'll let you make the decision here. Do you want to have his latest tune, or would you like to have a classic Ellen Morris piece? We launched, obviously, with A Matter of Time. We can go in with Some Things Just Aren't Meant to Be, or we can actually have The Great Escape. Where do you want to go?
I think we need the latest one from him.
You need the latest one. Okay, well, that's it. And in a kind of philosophical, standing on Skegness Beach sort of way, Ellen Morris, Some Things Just Aren't Meant to Be.
As a kid, I used to dream of being a sailor, of living my life on the sea. But there was one little problem: I didn't like sailing at sea, 'cause some things are just meant to be. Some things are just
lovely way in which it went from some things just aren't meant to be to some things are meant to be, which is great positivity, surely deserving of a round of applause, people. Yes, go! Yeah, fantastic stuff. Indeed, as Tom Robinson from BBC Six Music once said, extraordinary, ludicrously youthful and absurdly talented. It could be Sarah Bullimore. And then this time, it's the fabulous Elliot Morris. How are you, Elliot?
Hello, I'm very well. That was quite a while ago you said that, so I'm not so young anymore.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I thought the photographic impression of you standing... Was it on Skegness Beach that we actually saw you standing before the Some Things Just Aren't Meant to Be, where you sort of...
I'm afraid it wasn't. It's a beach in Wales, actually, on the other side of the country. Yeah.
You went West Coast as opposed to East Coast. it's understandable. Yeah. Wherever the image is coming through, that's the whole thing. So, did you really want to be a sailor, or did you actually... Was that just part of the song, or was a case of...
No,
you...
I did. My mum's actually from the Isle of Mull on the west coast of Scotland, and so when I was about 5 or 6, mum and dad took my brother and I over to see where she grew up, and on the ferry when we were going across, I asked my dad if boats ever sink, and instead of telling me, reassuring me and all that, he told me about the Titanic, which sort of put me off, and... Not good.
Elliot, bottom line, parents, very difficult to bring into the world. I should say no more. Yeah. Moving dexterously on from that, the other little line I love from the sort of, you can see I've listened to analyse the lyrics, etc. You talk halfway through, about midway through the song, about how do I actually get the guitar to move to the next riff. I thought it was wonderful. It's like deconstructing the song whilst you're playing it. Genius.
Yeah, it sort of falls apart and then builds itself up again, exactly. And then finishes on a nice nasty chord, which is
falls apart, builds itself up again. Could be Lincoln inspired. I don't know. Off you go, Sarah. Oh. Yeah, I know. No, it's always
building up,
exactly.
Always.
Building
yes.
up in that
yes.
sort of sense.
Yes.
So, questions for Elliot, please.
Hello, Elliot.
Hello.
What have you been? Because obviously it's been ages since we've kind of properly talked and seen each other. I can't believe really that nearly a year has kind of flown by so far since we were last at Lincoln Inspired. But what have you been up to during that year?
So last summer I had a lot of summer festivals, which was really nice, and recorded that track along with a few others for an EP over the summer, in spaces between gigs and stuff. And then I went out on a little tour in Germany and Holland, which was just so much fun, really, really was. But I was also driving myself around. It's the first time I've driven on the left-hand side of the road, so... a little bit terrifying as well, but the gigs were really enjoyable, and I've just finished a tour supporting Paul Carrack again. This is my second stint with him, so I've been all over the place with those shows, and just been loads of fun, but now I'm just gearing up for Lincoln Inspired.
Fantastic.
Personally, I think elliotmorris.co.uk is the place to go to find out all right. manner of marvellous things, really. It's very exciting. I can't believe as yet, I don't think, Elliot, you've performed at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. It's only got to be a matter of time, surely.
It's probably the only place in Lincoln I haven't played, I must say.
So there you are, Sam Chaplin. There's the challenge.
That's a good start,
marketing intern. You've got one of Lincoln's finest musicians here yet to perform at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm sure you'd be very welcome, Elliot. Nice to meet you, by
Thank
way.
You. Thank you, Andy.
No pressure, but it's Sam's second show. We feel we can actually... It's the reason Julie Ellaby said, get Sam in. He can actually deal with the flack and, the Elliot Morissettes who are out there sort of pounding at the door and saying, whoa, where's it going to be?
Exactly.
Michael, we've heard two fantastic Elliot Morris tunes on the show so far today. What are your thoughts on the fine singer-songwriter that is Elliot Morris, extraordinaire?
Well, I think it's fantastic. I think it's amazing. I'm very impressed that that you're driving yourself around Europe on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed.
Don't confuse those Europeans.
Well, they always get things wrong. And also that you've been working with Paul Carrack. That's quite it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's definitely sort of you learn a lot from playing venues of that sort of size that he does night after night. You learn a lot about sort of stagecraft, but about stamina as well, so you don't wear yourself out. You learn that quite quickly.
Did you find any difference between the kind of European audiences and ones back here, or are they all the same these days?
No, I mean what was really really nice was that. This is the first time I've been out doing shows in Europe, and just really kind of amazing when you turn up at a gig and there's 30, 40, 50 people that have, actually turned up to see you so far from home. Just really kind of knocks you back a little. But just amazing. They have a really, really good good healthy music scene out there. The last gig on the tour in Germany was in the middle of nowhere, right in the southeast, in a place called Topen, and it was a folk club, but it felt so much like a British folk club because they're so into their Celtic music and their British sounds that it was just like a home from home kind of thing. So it was just loads of fun, and I can't wait to go back there.
Sounds good.
In 2014, Elliot Morris walked onto the stage of the Cambridge Folk Festival and quite simply stole the show. Go and see him now, according to Brian McNeil.
There you go.
Nice tie-in, of course, with our sister show Sound and Nick's Vision, because photographer Nick Elliott has just published a book celebrating 50 years of the Cambridge Folk Festival, and we'll be working again with him. So you see it all hits together. In a
there
wonderful
you go. I haven't seen that yet. I'll have to look that up.
Well, I shall certainly have words with Nick next week, because that's the next Sound and Nick's Vision, just to confirm that all's well with respect to that, because he's got a whole range of fascinating things on that basis. So Sarah, obviously Elliot, key part of Lincoln Inspired, a very inspiring
Definitely,
musician
yes.
in every sense of the word. What sort of plans do you have in store for him? Have you let him know? Is this going to be complete?
Yes.
Sort of, have you told him about the Alice reading? All of those kind of things.
Well, he hasn't got the full programme yet. I'm sat with it in front of me, Elliot, just finalising it, ready to send out to everybody. But yes, Elliot has been fantastic from day one of Inspired and has always really supported the venture and everything that we do. So it's, you know, huge thanks to people like our patrons to get us where we are today, really. And as such, it was only fitting that we invited Elliot to be part of what we are calling our grand finale after party on May the 9th. So we're going to be in the Stokes Cafe at the Collection between 4 and 5 p.m., where we're going to be having a bit of spoken words, some inspiring words about the future, and Elliot's going to be playing some music as well. So it's the place to be.
Quite clearly. Otherwise, your entire credibility will just be washed away with onto some sort of beach somewhere in the kind of the hereafter and so on and so forth. A reminder, of course, you can also find out stuff about Lincoln Inspired by going to the Inspired website, which is...
You can, it's www.lincolninspired.co.uk, or like our Facebook too, because that's where we put all the current information up.
And you can even tweet and do various other things, just as Elliot is indeed done, because he even tweeted today to actually say he's been speaking to Alex at Siren FM in 5 minutes. Well, it's actually gone now. Those 300 seconds have gone through. Yeah, about at Lincoln Inspired. It's fantastic stuff. So retweeted marvellous. It's great material there. In fact, you know, nodding sagely, Sam Chaplin already on the case for getting out of Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. It'll happen. I know it will. Elliot, it's been brilliant as ever. Coming up next, we've got a piece that we did with Hull writer Nick Quantrill, who kind of combines crime, sport, and a whole heap of other scenarios coming through. But I take it you will be returning. We know that, in essence, we'll be catching up with your good self on the 9th of May. But then again, every time of day is a good time of day for an Elliot Morris song. It's my official answer. So there we have it. You know, whether you're listening to this on the original sort of Wednesday afternoon, third Wednesday of the month slot, or whether it's on the Thursday evening repeat or other repeat or via podcast, it's all good. We salute you, Nick Elliott. I was saying Nick Elliott. Elliot, you see what I said there? Nick Elliott, Elliot Morris. Very confusing. One and the same. No, not quite. Elliot Morris, we salute you. Take care. We'll see you very soon.
Thank you very much. Good speaking to you guys.
Don't want to miss a show?
You can listen to Siren FM wherever you are.
On your smartphone or tablet. Just download the Radio Player app for iPhone, iPad or Android.
Just search for Siren FM.
You can listen live, get in touch or catch up on podcasts. So,
on 107.3 FM.
On tablets.
On sirenonline.co.uk.
Or your mobile phone. However you listen,
tune in to Siren FM.
When you are described as the Hammett of Humberside by such an august personage as Nudge.com, and indeed one of the finest young writers of our time by CrimeFictionLover.com, and indeed being outlined by Hull Daily Mail as Hull's answer to Ian Rankin, clearly you're somewhat special. And we're delighted to be able to welcome the author and creator extraordinaire of a whole heap of goodies, including Broken Dreams, The Late Greats, The Crooked Beat, etc. The creator, of course, of Joe Geraghty. That would be the fabulous Nick Quantrill. How are you, Nick?
I'm good, thank you. I think I'll have those words put my grace down, actually.
Well, we feel that if you're living in constant fear of Hull City letting you down, we need you to offset that somehow. So we thought we'd work on that balance. I'm sure things will be okay with Steve Bruce in the fullness of time. just about, anyway. Moving on, clearly we're on Inspired On Air, the whole Lincoln Inspired production works through this. I suppose in essence we're incorporating your good self, because obviously you're up in Hull and an ace crime writer and short story writer. So crime, it's one of those genres which just becomes more and more popular.
I think it is, yeah. It's just perennially popular, isn't it? I think people enjoy the kind of the... You know, it's like solving a puzzle, isn't it, almost? You know, you want to kind of solve what the author's put in front of you, and you maybe just want to get a little bit of a, you know, like a thrill from your living room, rather than having to leave your house and go to the street and see these horrible things happening. I think, you know, it's kind of... It's an interesting genre in many different ways, really. And I don't think it's going to be sort of decreasing in popularity anytime soon.
Very much so. Obviously, we've recently had, I think, the Crime Writers Festival at Lincoln that was taking place. Did you manage to get down to that, or were you involved?
No, it was the Crime Writers Association.
Exactly.
And I'm a member of those people, with those people, but I think I was on childcare duty that day, actually.
It happens. It's one of the reasons why we're connecting telephonically from this point of view. We mentioned Hull City. Of course, you're also, you were the first person to hold the role of writer in residence at Hull Kingston Rovers.
Yes, that was an amazing opportunity. Yeah, I mean, it came about because my publisher just made the connection between my character being an ex-rugby league player for Hull Kingston Rovers and just asked me if they would stock the books in the club shop. And then I got a phone call back saying, how about you becoming the writer in residence at the club? So it was like, well, that sounds exciting. What do one of those do? And I did it for a year, and I wrote short stories for the programme using Joe Geraghty as a tool to kind of tell rugby league stories with a crime element. It was a bit like a kind of... I was using David Peace's Dan United as like a starting point. So I wrote a lot of stories like that, and I went into schools around Hull, did some short story workshops with kids, things like that. And it was brilliant, an absolutely brilliant year, and just held that with a literacy programme. It was an eye-opener, really, just to see how literature and sport can really kind of come together and drive things forward.
Looking at the précis for Broken Dreams, we see Joe Geraghty, private investigator, is used to struggling from one case to the next, barely making the rent on his small office in the old town of Hull. Was this something which, in a sense, has been influenced? I mean, we mentioned Dashiell Hammett, of course, and clearly he was responsible, as well as the likes of Raymond Chandler and other writers, for this whole hard-boiled detective fiction genre. Was that an influence in terms of creating the character of Joe Geraghty, or were you always influenced by private detectives and such like as a child?
I guess it was an influence, but probably not in the way that people would imagine, because I didn't want Joe Geraghty to be a private investigator who has femme fatales walking into his office every 5 minutes.
You mean he doesn't have a red Lotus and a red Ferrari?
No, he doesn't. And
a butler called Higgins. Outrageous.
Yeah, I wanted him to be kind of like a fairly normal northern man, you know, in the 21st century. I wanted to kind of move away from the tropes of the genre of the private investigator and just try and kind of reinvigorate it and bring my own twist to it, really. But as a reader, I love those books. I think they're brilliant. I love Raymond Chandler. I just wanted to just try and just update that kind of that genre a little bit, that little subgenre.
And of course, we were also seeing in recent years the kind of female equivalent of the hardball detective genre, with writers beginning to sort of change things around and move from what was once described as a fairly sexist mode of writing into something which is really kind of just good adventure fiction.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I go to a lot of crime events, crime festivals, and I mean, a lot of the readers are female, but certainly the writers, but it's probably 50-50, I would say. And there's a lot of female writers who are doing brilliant work. I particularly like a writer called Eva Derlin, who writes not too far away from Lincoln. She's just based around Peterborough and the Ferns. And she's kind of found a little niche on the police procedural novel, and she writes about a hate crimes unit, and it's kind of about migrant workers and kind of the problems and that they have and the way they go about dealing with their lives. And I think it's very much an open genre these days. I don't think that kind of sexism that maybe was there in the past is kind of largely gone, I think.
Why do you think that crime writing per se, I mean, clearly hardball detective fiction is one line, we've got the Agatha Christie murder mysteries and so on, and other Murder, She Wrote and so on. What is it that kind of makes it appealing and regularly one of the most popular generic forms?
I think it's the fact it can just be entertainment. You know, you can sit down and you can lose yourself in a story that has a beginning, a middle and an end. You know, there's that kind of puzzle to solve in front of you from the author. You know, you want to kind of, you want to be clever, don't you? You want to find out who the murderer was before you get to the end of the book. And I think crime can tell us a lot about society as well. So people like Ian Rankin, he writes about big social issues in cities. And, you know, I think from there we can just get a sense of who we are, where we're going to, and make sense of ourselves as much as anything. I think it's a genre that does a lot of different things.
Sarah Bullen was obviously responsible for the whole Lincoln-inspired package and indeed the So Festival and a whole heap of other goodies from that point of view. What particular aspects of life, well, you could say Hull City if you wish, or you could say Dean Windus scoring goals and back in the day, appeals or inspires yourself, Nick, when you're actually sort of setting down to the typewriter or indeed the word processor these days?
Yes, it's a laptop these days. I think it's more the fear of having to get a proper job again. That's a terrible thing. You know, I'm fortunate that I stay at home and I look after my daughter and write around that. But I think it's that I want to make sense of what I see around me in Hull. When I wrote the first novel, Broken Dreams, it was kind of very much pre-City of Culture in Hull, very much pre-green technology coming in. It was a very different city. You know, it felt like a city that was really down in the dumps and struggling, where now it's a much more vibrant place and there's a lot more going on. So I'm trying to sort of capture that across the book. So I think that's kind of my main inspiration. It's just Hull, really, I think.
And allowing for the fact that it's never dull in Hull, as we frequently like to say, clearly European City of Culture is looming across the horizon. A bit of a buzz happening in the city as far as that's concerned?
It's definitely starting to build because the team's now in place and it's been headed up by a guy called Martin Green, who was responsible for directing the Olympics opening ceremony. And you know, we've got world-class people involved in the process. It's definitely there's a bus starting to build. You know, we're starting to see infrastructures change, but the planning is starting to run a little bit forward. People are talking about it. You know, I think there's just this expectation that it's just going to be a brilliant year in Hull, and people are going to come and visit us and find out what the city's about. You know, maybe people will take a chance on the city at the M62, where you really need a reason to come and visit and see what we see.
Actually, I mean, you're only a matter of 45 minutes away from the city of Lincoln, of course, Magna Carta and various other bits and pieces. Clearly, you know, from the sporting point of view, I can hear the Lincoln City fans saying, what's he complaining about, bottom end of the Premiership? You know, look at Lincoln City, mid-table mediocrity, another season thereof in the Vanarama Conference.
Yeah, and the last time I came to Lincoln was actually for a football match, and it was Lincoln versus Hull City, so we're talking at least 10 years ago.
That's far too long, Nick, you know, from the point of view of Lincoln inspired and various other factors, so I've got to effectively sort of say on Sarah's behalf, because I know she'll be listening to this particular thing, will you be returning to Lincoln in the very near future?
I'm looking forward to the festival, and we're going to make it of a day of it. My family will be coming across, because we had a look at the website for the venue, it looks fantastic for children to have a look around and see the other authors and listen to what everybody else has to say. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to visiting Lincoln again.
Excellent, and it's time to share the plug once again. The festival, the dates, when can we actually, when do we put out the banners to say Nick Quantrill is on his way?
It's May the 9th, and I believe it's for the full day. There's various events going on. Looking forward to it.
Exactly.
And our panel is 12:30, and I think it's called East Coast Crime.
Precisely, and that's Saturday, May the 9th, of course. 3 days after, of course, our Telefantasy Society conference, where we should have the voice of Scott Tracy, Shane Rimmer should be with us, Jamie Anderson, a whole heap of other goodies. It's all part of Inspired on Air. Nick, it's been a genuine pleasure touching base with the good self. Again, a reminder that in terms of must-read texts to actually check out and work through, certainly the excitement of Nick Geraghty, Broken Dreams, The Late Greats, and The Crooked Beat. All available, well worth sort of accessing from that point of view, and genuine treats. Nick, we salute you, take care, and see you very soon.
Excellent, look forward to it.
I know. It's Nick Quantrill, not Nick Geraghty. It's his character who's called Geraghty. But just as we were confused with Elliot Morris and indeed Nick Elliott, it's easily confused these kind of... You know what's in a name at the end of the day. That's very exciting news, though, Sarah, that he's going to be there as well as his family.
I know. It's really nice. And we really kind of try and encourage everyone who comes down as well to actually come and spend longer with us than their event as well. And I think it's one of those aspects that makes Inspired feel like a really big family and really nice.
Just like we like to feel the programmes do as well in their own way. And you can always listen back to the whole... In fact, it's almost a year since we started the Inspired on Earth
package. It is, yes, indeed, Alex.
We should have some sort of celebration.
We should, definitely.
Anyway, moving on. Michael, as we begin to head to young adult author extraordinaire, the legendary Kerry Drury, who is also highly connected with respect to the Lincoln Inspired Festival and so on, I believe you were arguing that we should have a little musical break. Is that right?
Musical break? Are we thinking...
What are we thinking? We could just think the musical break, but that would go as dead air.
Are we thinking the Paul Carrot connection? Are we thinking
Are we thinking the...
The Jessamine...
Yes,
the Casuals. You would get...
Oh,
your purpose behind selecting the Casuals and Jessamyn, Michael Blackburn?
It was one of those things where you're probably a Friday night and I was going, playing around on the interwebs, listening to some music and getting nostalgic, and this one came up and I thought,
Inspired on Earth.
Yeah, and then I sort of had a look around and I thought, gosh, they came from Lincoln. And it was just wonderful. I think it was partly written by Marty Wilde, somebody like that.
There we are. Sarah, you were particularly swaying to that, even though you were far too young to actually remember
it. No, I do. I remember it, yes. My mum and dad had it on record, and I used to listen to it lots.
Regularly. And I wonder if it's the sort of thing that can inspire a superlative author of material that's just a dream of lights, surely a brighter fear, all of these kind of scenarios here. I've even liked Carrie Drury's Facebook page while we've been speaking. I've pressed the like button because she is the legend Carrie Drury. How are you, Carrie?
I'm very well, thank you, and thank you for liking my page.
The least we can do, really, I think. I mean, there are some guests whose page, even on Inspired on Air, I will jot them like as a matter of purpose, but we won't let them know who they are. Actually, in the main, we're all sort of fine, because as Sarah says, Sarah Bullimore has, as she might have revealed to you, the lovelyometer meter that she actually has. It's a lovelyometer meter reading.
Yes, we do.
And she has sort of various gauges that sort of work through. It's a bit like a Geiger counter, sort of ticks at various sort of times, etc. But ultimately, and you'd be pleased to know, Carrie, that you score very highly on the Sarah Bullimore. That's lovely. You see, there we are. Every time. Sarah, share with us, and indeed, Carrie, how is she going to get involved with this fantastic event that we've got on the 9th of May?
Well, Carrie's going to be doing quite a bit with us, actually, really. Going to be doing a couple of events, which is fantastic. And again, Carrie is one of our kind of patrons and for children and young people, and really, really supportive as well. As Alex kind of mentioned, we do have a policy that we only really like working with lovely people. So so it makes programming really nice and exciting. So yes, Carrie is going to be part of, at 1:30 p.m. in the main auditorium at the Collection, we've got a reading and writing young adult fiction panel. This is going to be really exciting because we've actually got four authors on this, and it's going to be chaired by one of our young journalists as well from Lincolnshire. And then following this, we've got the launch of Writing East Midlands Young Writers Group, which we'll be meeting after that, and I'm sure Kerry can give us a bit more information on that.
That was your cue, I believe, Kerry. I know the rehearsals went very well for the show, but if you'd like to just share some information, that'd be very good.
Sarah was so eloquent, I was just...
It's indeed, I know, but still, yeah. Off you go.
Okay, so yeah, the Young Writers Group, it's part of the Writing East Midlands initiative, and it's a new group aimed at 13 to 16-year-olds, I believe, in the Lincoln area. We're going to be meeting once a fortnight, so just to help young people who are keen on writing and getting together and... all be lovely together and produce some great work, hopefully. So, yes, as Sarah said, we're launching it at the Inspired Festival, doing a taster session on that day, which is at 3 till 4 in the Education Room, I believe, at the Usher Gallery. So, yeah, it'd be great to see some young people coming down and get to know them. We'll do some fun things.
Sounds very good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about young people, because obviously there are various fun events that are happening always with the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Sam, would you like to sort of just share with us anything else that maybe young people might be interested in from Lincoln Performing Arts Centre? Because obviously we've passed through the Easter period now.
Yep,
anything
sure.
that's upcoming in the summer. I'm thinking in particular maybe the Cinderella production from the Ballet on Sunday the 14th of June.
Yes, I think that'll be very appealing for young people. We've also got free events every week. There's something for kids, which is Lil Packs, which is playing on the LPAC name that Craig Morris told me not to ever say. But that's a free storytelling session
said that
for
time
children.
And time again, but it's Lil Pack. It's not to be confused with Tupac, because obviously
no.
You know, we don't have drive-by shootings at the Lincoln Performing Arts.
Hardly
Center.
Any.
No,
yeah.
I think you'll find none is the answer there. If you say hardly any, there's always the suspicion that you could turn up on a night where something does occur. That would not help our traffic and travel at all.
No. And not to be confused with Lurpak either, which is the other thing.
We not going into a butter scenario there, but
no.
Lil Pack, which is a wonderful system, as you say, echoes and carries through the whole thing. I need to ask you, though, how did the Ulu Zuzulalia or Lalia event go?
Really well, yeah, from what I've heard. Yeah,
pronunciation was good as well. Presumably.
Yes, that was great. Ulu Zuzulalia, I think,
yeah. Very important. It's just to sort of round the whole thing up. Michael, have you got any questions you want to put to Carrie Drury from a poet to a writer of text and prose?
Hello, Carrie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. Are you all right?
Yeah.
Good. Have you been doing some writing this morning?
I've been writing lots of emails this morning, which isn't very interesting, really. I've been doing a lot of reading lately, because I've got a manuscript out on submission at the minute that I'm waiting to hear back, which means I've got some free time to actually get some reading done.
Right, so you're doing a kind of research and building up at the moment?
Yes, yeah, doing some market research as well, just reading lots of lovely books, really. Just finished reading Murder Most Unladylike, which is a great kids' book, which is a detective book by Robin Stevens, set in the girls' boarding school, which is great fun.
Brilliant. I've just bought that one, Kerry, so that's on my list, ready to read, so I shall look forward to it.
Yeah, it's a great book, actually. What about yourself? Are you reading anything at the moment, Sarah?
Oh, I am. I'm reading David Mock's latest crime one, actually, ready for when he comes along for the crime panel. So it's called Sorrowbound, he's a whole author as well, set in there. But normally I try and kind of have, like, about three books on the go at once.
Really?
Yeah.
I find it difficult to concentrate on more than one at a time.
It can be interesting for a kind of postmodern effect of getting all kinds of stories put together as one, really. But, you know, generally we can compartmentalise. That's the important thing as far as the thing is actually concerned. Michael, what are you reading at present? Or are you reading scripts, presumably, for students?
I've managed to get through a whole load of dissertations, but I'm glad that's out of the way. I'm afraid I'm reading really tedious kind of intellectual stuff at the moment.
We don't use these academics, so glad that's out of the way. Yes, dissertations. We cherish and savour each word that's actually written and composed.
Yeah, well, I think I'll go back and edit that out.
Yeah,
that's
just,
I'm reading an extremely big, fat novel by Jonathan Meads. It's a reprint of one that came out in 1990 called Pompey, and it's utterly bizarre. So do not ask me to explain what's happening in it, because I'm about a third of the way through it. It's about 400 plus. Pages, but it's really strange. It's travelling around the world, and all kind of weird and sometimes terrible things are happening in it.
Sounds good. And carrying on with Kerry's question, from your own point of view, Sam, are you having a chance to read anything? It's a case of read when I'm working as an intern. Yeah, ridiculous.
It's mostly copy for shows at the venue. But I've been given as a gift Stephen King's The Shining, which I've been meaning to read for years and years.
Yeah.
And it's now sitting on my shelf, looking at me, making me feel guilty for not having started reading it. So that's what I'm hoping to get around to.
I've got Don Quixote on my shelf, which is one of those always mean to get round to reading but never quite do books. It's so big.
I'll give a plug for Black Horizon by M.G. Harris. As you can tell, I'm emotionally overwhelmed with the whole thing. It's the latest in a series that is being produced by M.G. Harris, celebrating Gerry Anderson's last ever piece of work. And that's it, because obviously The Shining goes into murder and all sorts of scary things there. And I'm not going to say he's here, because it would get all strangely so. I'm still actually recovering from Michael's line about, I'm glad that's over with this. We can look ahead to next year's set of dissertations. Oh, it's always something that's like an inspired festival. Sarah, any final questions you want to put to Kerry?
Are you looking forward to the panel, Kerry? I'm meeting everybody else on there.
Yeah, I really am looking forward to the panel. Yes, just trying to remember who else is on there.
Because you know, obviously, Zoe came through Zoe you, Mary and there's Georgia Twynham and Cassandra Parkin. Do you know their work at all?
I know Zoe's work, Zoe also.
Yeah.
You should give yourself a treat in that little bubbly way and actually check out some of Georgia Twynham's 13th series. Genuinely wonderful.
Right.
Well, a lot of them, the reason I kind of put that panel together and that as well is that a lot of them have kind of got a lot of links with fantasy and fairy tale and things like that. And that's one of my kind of favourite young adult fiction areas as well. And I think that was one of the things why I wanted to put it together as well, was to kind of make everyone realise that you don't just have to be a young person to read young adult fiction, that adults love it too. So.
Yeah, I think there was a statistic out not long ago that more young YA books were bought by adults than by young adults, by
teenagers.
Yeah, definitely. I believe that.
Have you got a canine barking in the background there, Kerry, or is that just a case of sound effects that we're getting through this, or am I just hallucinating again? I could be hallucinating.
Well, that's not my canine. My canine's fast asleep at my feet. The one you can hear is outside in a couple of gardens
away. It's, you know, I recognise the sort of the canine call, actually, because let's face it, Inspired on Air and Lincoln Inspired, it's for dogs as well.
It's for everybody.
That's cats. Exactly. Everybody, every sense of the way. Kerry, it's been super connecting with your good self today. We've managed to shoot the breeze effectively with respect to that. You will, of course, be part of that wonderful panel. Tickets available, Sarah? How do people actually book for this grand event?
Yes, well, we are literally in the next 48 hours about to put tickets on sale. So all the events at the collection will be available through the collection. Either you can call in or you can give them a ring, or the ones available at or for events at the Central Library will be bookable through there as well. And we'll also have a box office on the day as well.
Looks as it's a win-win situation. Will you be taking advantage of the May the 9th event, Sam Chaplin?
Yes, I absolutely will. Yes, excellent. Definitely.
Good answer. Michael?
I'm tempted by the...
Murder Investigation Workshop,
that
aren't you?
That strikes me as genius.
Red rum, shining.
Red rum. So you've got me going now. No, it sounds brilliant.
Clearly the message is there, and you know it will continue to actually be there for as long as we can actually see. That's almost it for Inspired on Air. Just enough time to actually say...
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for a millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Up on my garden gates, a snail, that's what it is. The lock up on my garden gates, a snail, that's what it is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. Mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain.
It's all to do with perception, Michael. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. It's quite simple.
Then there isn't again.
Exactly. It's all to do with perception. Wrapping up now with respect to Sam Chaplin. I managed to get your name right most of the show,
thank
actually,
you very
Sam.
Much,
so that's very good. Our arts intern for the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Finally, a few plugs for the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre.
Yep, just a few cheeky plugs. Just to remind you that Guys and Dolls is all this week until Saturday. There's tickets still available for that. And free events. Our commuter jazz on Friday evenings 5 till 7, which in this lovely weather is really nice. We open the doors and the music spills out into Lincoln, which is great. And the comedy club, Zing Comedy Club, free event on Mondays in the evenings. That's back on the 20th after a little Easter break.
Fantastic. Sarah, again, Lincoln Inspired on events happening on May the 9th. Maybe there's an event happening on May the 6th, Sally Fantasy Society.
They just all need to go get booking, don't they, Alex? In the next 24 hours, go do it now.
Exactly, even if it's on a Thursday, still time. That's pretty much it. Thanks to Elliot Morris, Nick Quantrell and Kerry Drury for joining us telephonically. Thanks to the studio to Michael Blackburn, as ever, Sam Chaplin and Sarah Bullimore, as ever, of course. That's it. That's a wrap for Lincoln Inspired on Air for April. The next one, of course, will be occurring in May, third week in May. So we'll be looking back at success,
forward
probably to the Sow Festival, I would have thought, which is something else we'll be talking about, of course, in Skegness. Marvellous stuff. Okay, well done, everybody. Can we all say bye bye?
Bye.
We should really say something like Lincoln Inspired or Inspired. Be Inspired. Let's say Be Inspired for Inspired on Air. So one, two, three.
Be Inspired.